Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
Many people get in a rut, and you go through life boring everybody to death and even boring yourself to death. And you can't justify being alive, breathing air, consuming goods, loving me, my, and mine, and that's about it. Are you in a rut? Has fire gone out of your life?
The truth is, God wants to set your heart on fire. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today, Dr. Young begins his message, Stuck in a Rut, and encourages you with practical ways you can grow your passion for God and make every day count. Stay with us and hear more from Dr. Young on The Winning Walk. Before we get to today's message, we want to tell you about a $75,000 challenge grant that has been offered to help meet a vital $500,000 year-end need. This exciting challenge means your gift today will go twice as far to help The Winning Walk close out this year on the strongest possible footing, ready to proclaim the gospel far and wide in the year ahead. Your generosity will lead to a spiritual harvest as together we scatter seeds of truth across the world through this program. So, call today to help meet the year-end need, knowing that your gift will go twice as far when combined with the challenge grant. Call 1-800-350-WALK. That's 1-800-350-9255. And thank you for helping reach more people in 2023 with the proven truth of God's Word. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day, so we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. You can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is Winning Walk. That's Winning Walk. How has the Winning Walk impacted your life? Share your story with us by going to winningwalk.org/mystory. Now, here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, Stuck in a Rut.
Ladies and gentlemen, I decided a long time ago that I was going to burn up and not rust out. But I can tell you, there's a lot of people here who haven't made that decision. I know so many folks, they may be 25 or 95, but they've just given up on life. And you know, they have the idea that, well, I have put a do not disturb sign on my door, and I'm going to continue to live the way I'm living. And you go through life boring everybody to death and even boring yourself to death. And you can't justify being alive, breathing air, consuming goods, loving me, my, and mine, and that's about it. Many people get in a rut. On the Alaska Highway, there's a sign up there that says, choose your rut carefully because you'll be in it for the next 200 miles. Are you in a rut? Has fire gone out of your life? By the way, you know what a rut is. It's a grave with both ends kicked out of it. And when people begin to say, well, I guess my life is over. I'm just going to live my life just like this, and I'm not going to change. When is the last time you launched out into something that you'd never done before? When is the last time you stood up and said, I want to volunteer to move in this area? How many times have people asked you to move out of your comfort zone and you'd said, you know, I've never done that before. I just don't know. Ladies and gentlemen, you have lost fire in your life. What is fire in the Bible? It's used for many things, but primarily it is a metaphor for God. God is like a fire, and when God comes in a life, He burns all the way that which is extraneous, and he gives us life and purpose and direction. Have you lost your way? Are you confused? Are you, in a sense, caught up in slavery? This is just the way it is. There's no hope for me. I can't change. I was in the Bible Museum about 3 weeks ago in Washington. And the man who put it all together took me into a section there, and he was showing me literally thousands of Bibles. And he said, look at this shelf. These are Bibles. These are Bibles that the plantation owners had printed for slaves. I said, boy, that's interesting. And here's these slave Bibles. The owners of the slave had them printed for their slaves. And I said, what's the difference in this Bible than all the other Bibles? He said, well, the slave owners had the book of Exodus left out. Didn't want the slaves to know that God sets people free. God intends for people to be free. But I can tell you, you're in a special kind of deadly slavery right now if there is no fire of purpose in your life. We've been studying Solomon. He's let us walk inside his life. This may have been his memoirs. It may have been his autobiography. It may have been his spiritual journal. But you have to be thrilled when somebody just opens up and says, this is the thrust of my life. And all the way through, he's talked about uselessness, meaninglessness. All of life makes no sense, has no purpose. Everything is vanity, vanity, vanity. And if you've been studying with him, we're about worn out. But now, toward the end of the book, chapter 11 and chapter 12, Solomon lets us in on something that he's kept pretty well subdued, because he's looked at life simply from a horizontal perspective, and now he lets us know that he does believe in God who came from above the sun down where man lives. He begins to let us see that he is a theist, that he is at least a believer in the true and living God. And then he comes to chapter number 11 of Ecclesiastes. You know what he tells us? He says, this is how you can put the fire of God in your life. If that fire has gone out, if you don't wake up in the morning and hear the sound of the trumpets any longer, let me tell you something. I wake up every morning and I wake up Winston, and I sing, this is the day the Lord has made, and he's never once complained. Is that your life? Do you hear the sound of the trumpets in the morning? Do you jump out of bed with purpose? Is there fire in your belly, to say it theologically? Solomon says, this is how you can put fire in your belly. And he gives us four Proverbs. He's a master of Proverbs. He's written that book. And I want you to listen to these Proverbs. And if you're sort of fed up with life, you know, you're caught up in the same old, and it's sort of ho-hum, and I'm going to hang in till the end. And you always say, well, I can't do that because, you know, I'm older now, and I don't stay up on things like I used to. Now, let me tell you something. I stay away from people like that. I run from them because they've lost the light of God and the fire of God in their life. By the way, there are four or five stages of life. There's infancy. There's childhood, the teenage years. Then there is the young middle years, and then there's middle age, and then there's old age, and then there is a you sure look good time. But in whatever category you find yourself, So many people, I see young people and there is no fire in their life. I look at their eyes and their eyes are glazed over. There's no real purpose and they don't understand the meaning of life. Solomon says, you want to keep fire in your life? He tells us exactly how to do it with four proverbs. Look at them. Ecclesiastes 1, verse 1. Cast your bread on the surface of the waters, and you will find it after many days. What is that? You cast your bread, your life, your means, and just throw it out on the surface of waters. Let me tell you, you take bread and put it in a plastic container, and it'll mold. You put it in the refrigerator, and it'll become dry. I've discovered that in recent days. And so what do you do with bread? Solomon says, you want to keep fire in your life, you just cast it out on the water. And you'll be amazed what will happen. It will come back to you many days later, buttered, I believe. And some people, they're so close. He's talking about living a life that is generous. Somebody says, make all you can all you can, and sit on the can. In other words, don't share. Don't become generous. But Solomon says, just cast your bread on the water. By the way, this is another way of expressing the golden rule. Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. What does that mean? It means whatever you need, that's what you give. Does anybody here have any need? You have anything you want? Are you down? Or what do you need? Need somebody to encourage you? Guess what? Encourage others. Bread on the water. It'll come back. You need anybody to listen to you, go listen to somebody else. And don't make your conscience just listen. You listen to somebody else, you'll be amazed. You'll find somebody that'll listen to you. That's the golden rule. It's not those that have the gold rule. I've heard that. No, it's whatever you need, that's what you give. And it comes back. And sometimes it comes back in different forms. Cast your bread, your life on the water, and watch what happens. With his permission, I'm going to tell you the story of Ed and Nina Hendy. Ed Hendy had a little restaurant in the Memorial Drive, way up on this side of Memorial Drive. He and his wife ran it for many years, just moderately successful, and they decided they wanted to expand their restaurant and build a bigger one. They had that dream. So for 2 years, they presented to 6 different banks what they needed in a loan to buy property and to build a restaurant. They were turned down by 6 banks. The banks were wise. They didn't have the collateral. They didn't have the backing. There's no way they deserved the loan they were asking for. And so they were rejected until finally in 1990, he went to another bank, and amazingly so, the bank granted the loan. And when they went in to consummate the deal, a young man came out and said, Mr. Hendy, you don't remember me, but when you at 24 years old were manager of the Steak and Ale, I was a busboy. And I washed dishes. And he said, you always were respectable and nice and encouraged me. And you were my cheerleader during those years. He said, now I am a legal officer in the bank, not even in the loan department. And I think he saw they were going to reject the application for a loan. But he stepped in and says, I know these people. I know who they are. And they'll work hard and they'll make it. And so through his encouragement, against poor banking practices, it just wouldn't work the way they had figured it in their business plan. They gave him the loan, and now I think we all know the taste of Texas. That's a world-class restaurant. Now, what happened? Bread in the water. Other people at 24 who were manager of Steak and Ale, hey, boy, bring me that thing. Man, let's wash those dishes. Let's move out. And they would put down, not build up, not encourage, but The Hindus just threw bread out on the water, and years later, the whole success of their life came because that bread came back buttered in the form of a young man they hadn't seen since he was a busboy. You've lost fire in your belly? Try it. Cast some bread on the water. That's what Solomon says. And then he gives us another parable that is just as powerful and practical as that. Verse 2, divide your portion to the 7 or even to the 8, for you do not know what misfortune may occur on earth. What is he saying there? Don't put all of your eggs in one basket. That's what he's saying. You drop the basket, you lose all your eggs. What does that mean? It means diversify. Don't let one rejection or one broken heart destroy your life. I know a young woman who said, you know, I've never met my soulmate. I thought that I had, and I lost him, and oh, I'll never be happy for the rest of my life. The whole thing about soulmate is a myth, folks. It's a myth. It's not, I can only marry one person. Where do you get that in the Bible? Now, I believe in covenant marriage. Don't misunderstand and misinterpret this. But by the same token, just because this didn't work out, your life's not destroyed. I see teenagers, well, I didn't get accepted at college, therefore I don't even know if I want to go to school anymore. You see, there are a lot, you have to divert. Don't put all your eggs in one basket and say, this must work for me or I'm going to be miserable. How foolish is that kind of thinking? Solomon's saying, you want to keep fire in your life. If this door closes, God may open a window. If this window is raining, you can't go there, he may find you a backward way. In other words, believe in the providence of God. God's running this world, ladies and gentlemen. Nobody else is. Don't believe anything you read. And when you and I try to run the world, I tried once in a while, and I quickly resigned. The providence of God is working, so we don't put all of our eggs in one basket or one thing. By the way, that's what happened to the ship, the Titanic. In about 1912, this beautiful ship, most expensive ship ever made, on its maiden voyage, who's who was on board, and they advertised, this ship cannot be sunk. And they put all of their stock in the steel of the hull. How it was put together as a catacomb, and they had 5 different chambers that were airtight that gravitated 16 different steel chambers. And they said, if something would penetrate one of these airtight chambers, it would seal itself and the ship would still stay afloat. They put all their eggs in that kind of engineering, that kind of thinking. Therefore, they came to icebergs. They said, full steam ahead, this ship can't be sunk. And they ran to an iceberg. It pierced one of those airtight steel compartments in the hull. They said, well, the rest of them, they haven't been penetrated. But what they didn't know was when they pierced this, the water pressure and the power, they had steel horizontally around the ship. But when it pierced this, the water was forced with power and came down in the other areas of the ship vertically. And they went down to the bottom of the ocean. They put all their eggs in the basket of pride. We're invincible. We can't go down. What is Solomon saying? He says, cast your bread on the water. Watch what happens. Invest in life and people and things that make a difference. And then he says, don't put all your eggs in one basket. Then he comes and gives us another parable. And by the way, put these things in practice, fire will come back in your life, purpose in your life. Verse 3 following, if the clouds are full, they pour out rain upon the earth, and whether a tree falls. Now, what's he saying here, by the way, you're going to see is don't put off to tomorrow what you can do today. He's saying, Nike, victory, do it now. And he says, and he moves on. South or toward the north, whether the tree falls, where it lies. He who watches the wind will not sow, and he who looks at the clouds will not reap. Just as you do not know the path of the wind and how the bones are formed in the womb of a pregnant woman, so you do not know the activity of God who makes all things. What is he saying here? He is saying, if you want fire to come in your life, you have to understand and realize that you're not in control of all of this. You have to come to realize some very practical words of truth about life and where it comes from. And there's a capriciousness there. There's an unsteadiness there. And then he talks about in verse number 6, sow your seed in the morning and do not be idle in the evening, for you do not know whether morning or evening sowing will succeed or whether both of them alike will be good. He's saying very simply here that we just sow seed bountifully. We 2 Corinthians chapter number 9 said, just sow bountifully. If you sow bountifully, you may have a bountiful harvest. If you sow sparingly, not much is going to come up. So he's talking about the fundamental law of sowing and reaping. And we just delay. We say, well, it's not the right time for me to do that. We put this off. We put that off. We procrastinate it. Solomon said, do it now. What are you waiting for? Decide now. I read about a Georgia farmer, and he was in an old shack, and a car pulled up. A man asked for directions, and the farmer gave him directions, and the man said, well, how's your cotton crop coming? He said, I ain't planting no cotton this year. He said, why? He said, boll weevils. Okay. He said, tell me how your corn crop is doing. He said, I ain't planting no corn this year. He said, why? Well, they said, we're not going to have much rain. He said, what about your potatoes? He said, I didn't plant any potatoes. Why? Potato bugs. He said, well, what'd you plant? He said, I didn't plant anything. I'm playing it safe. Some people take their whole life and they play it safe. Some people have the idea, well, I can't decide about Christ. I can't decide about the church. Listen, there's never a perfect time for anything that we're trying to decide on.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Matthew 11:28. The book of Exodus chronicles the deliverance of God's people from 400 years of bondage in Egypt. But when Moses spoke to the people, they did not listen to him because of their discouragement and harsh labor. Their Hebrew word translated as discouragement literally means short of breath. In other words, their bitter enslavement had left them worn out, depleted, beat down, and bottomed out. Does that sound familiar? Tough times can come through our lives and make us short of breath. What can we do when life's circumstances lead to discouragement? That's the question. Jesus invites us to come to him, and he will give us rest. So accept his invitation. He will help you catch your breath and carry your load.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. And we hope today's message has encouraged you with the proven truth of God's Word. Before we let you go, though, we'd like to remind you about the urgent $500,000 year-end need, which must be met by December 31. Your support is vital to ensure that together we can sow seeds of the gospel in more hearts and lives in the year ahead. And don't forget, your support will go twice as far when combined with the $75,000 challenge grant. So call now to give and help reach more people with the proven truth of God's Word. Call us at 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. Thanks for being with us today on The Winning Walk. Listen in next week as Dr. Young brings you more proven truth from God's Word. And have a great weekend.
Winning Walk is a listener-supported ministry. Your prayers and financial support allow us to bring proven truth to listeners around the world.